নিত্যলীলা প্রবিষ্ট ওম বিষ্ণু পাদ শ্রীমদ ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী মহারাজ। In couple of hours, by the grace of his Gurudev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Krishna, he preached the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the whole world. First, Sri Amrani will glorify him and will give Pushpanjali to the lotus feet.
15 minutes. Om Jnanam Tinarantasya Jnanam Tinishamakaya. First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet. Matara Maharaja Sumadikshi Guru Pad Padma, Vishudeva Pravishra Om Vishnu Pad, Historical City Shri Shima, Chula Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of Matara Maharaja Sumadikshi Guru Pad Padma, Om Vishnu Pad, Historical City Shri Shima, Chula Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our Guru Varga and all his Tamil devotees. So, as you've heard many times, Srila Gurudev is glorifying Srila Prabhupada as being not different from his disciple succession, having the same message as Srila Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Jiva Goswami, his own Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He said, always says, don't think that he's any different. Particularly when Srila Gurudev is discussing Jiva Tattva, he always emphasizes, don't think that your Prabhupada is different. So today I thought I would speak on that one subject of Jiva Tattva, showing by Srila Prabhupada's letters, purports, translations of verses, conversations, how he's totally in line and totally Sri Guru Tattva, that is, Guru comes to this world to give us faith in that realm, the Loka Vrindavan, and to take away our false faith in this world. So some of Srila Prabhupada's quotes are very clear, and some, without having Shresta Sada Sangha, appear not clear and appear contradictory. Actually, once in Vrindavan, in the class in Vrindavan, Srila Gurudev said that after Srila Prabhupada left, many devotees or disciples of Prabhupada left him thinking that, oh, his words are so full of contradiction. So first I'll say those letters, purports, verses, conversations, where it's clear even to anyone, and then the more difficult verses or statements. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Srila Sanatana Goswami, as translated by our Srila Prabhupada, Mahaprabhu says that there is a Viraja River, a demarcation line, which is in between the spiritual and material worlds. The spiritual world is on one side of this Viraja River, and the material world is on the other. The material energy cannot go beyond to the other side of that material world. So what does Tikhago look for? Or Vaikuntha, anything beyond the Viraja has no material energy. Then Srila Prabhupada translated and brought that first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam with him when he came to the West in 1966. He came with a trunkload of many volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam that Srila Gurudev helped him print in Delhi just before he came. There, in the first verse, the first canto, first chapter, Srila Prabhupada translates, Dhamna Svena Siddha Nirastiku Akam Sadyam Puram Dhimini. I meditate on that absolute truth, Lord Krishna, who is always residing in his own abode, the Loka Vrindavan, which is forever free from illusion. in two places in that line, Yamuna's famous Sada Nirastapuakam. There, it's stated that there can't be even a little bit of Maya. It's forever free from illusion. Then, all over the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Jayan Vijaya discussed, Srila Prabhupada translates from Maharaj Parikit, who's inquiring from Narada Muni. I can't believe that Jayan Vijaya could have fallen, because they had spiritual bodies. Everybody in Vaikuntha has spiritual bodies. It's impossible that anyone could fall down to Vaikuntha. I don't believe it. And similarly, Srila Prabhupada writes everywhere, besides his translations, also in his purports. So the conclusion is, the jiva can never fall from Vaikuntha. It is a fact that the living entity can never fall from Vaikuntha. In one purport he writes that all associates, all residents of Vaikuntha are akshara. This means they can never fall down. They're always so blissful in their association with Krishna, always thinking, I am servant of Krishna. They can never fall down to the material world. Similarly, in another verse of purport, he writes that Vaikuntha is manifest by the antaranga shakti, the internal potency, not any touch of potency. Therefore, that place is made of uncontaminated goodness. Here in this world, even goodness gets contaminated by passion and ignorance. But there it is only unalloyed goodness, and the entire situation is full with freedom from all external energy. Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter to one godbrother, my godbrother, that you have asked, what is the form of the spirit soul in the conditioned living entity? The form is there, but that form is in seed. Just as Srila Gurudev says about the almond oil is in the almond seed. It just needs to be pressed. So similarly here, Srila Prabhupada wrote that just as the entire tree is situated in the seed of the tree, so everything about the spirit soul, his form, his beauty, his dress, everything is there, but it only develops, it only takes its actual original form when the living entity reaches its perfectional stage and enters Vaikuntha Loka. Until then, it's always in a seed. In the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada writes in his summary of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Krishna book, that when one is mature and advanced in Krishna consciousness, that means when he's in the mature stage of Bhava Bhakti, at that time, he takes his birth in any one of the planets where Lord Krishna is performing his pastimes in this material world. And at that time, he gets his very first opportunity to associate with Krishna personally and directly. Even in this world, those who are pure devotees, who are coming from that realm or qualified to be in that realm, never fall. In one conversation, one Indian gentleman asked him, I see that devotees, they feel unhappy. I guess that's because they know they're unhappy, whereas conditioned souls don't know they're unhappy. Isn't that true? So Prabhupada replied, no. Any pure devotee is always happy. If someone is unhappy and thinking that he's a devotee, actually, as Srila Gurudev often quotes Prabhupada is saying, he's a rascal. He has not even entered into devotional life if he's unhappy. Then, in another conversation, one devotee asks Prabhupada, we see that devotees are chanting Hare Krishna, and they're coming to the higher stages of Krishna consciousness. But then we see that they fall back. How is this? So Prabhupada said, no, they're not devotees at all. They're only pretending to be devotees. A third class devotee will always fall. A second class devotee will not fall. And a first class devotee, that is the advanced stages of second class devotee. And the first class devotee, there's absolutely no chance that he'll fall. Now, I'm going to come now to the more difficult for those who have no trace to sadhusanga. And before that, those who think that there's any contradiction in Prabhupada's books or statements or conversations or letters, Srila Prabhupada wrote that there's a link in the Vedic literatures. There's no contradiction. All the Vedic literatures say the same thing, and all the acharyas say the same thing, but they may appear to say different things for different classes of persons. But the Vedic conclusions are never different. Now, somebody may read in Prabhupada's translations that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to his mother not to eat grains on Ekadasi. And he says, if somebody eats grains on Ekadasi, then he becomes a murderer of his mother, his father, his brother, all of his relatives. And even if he is elevated to Vaikuntha Loka, he'll fall down. So what does this mean? It's just a warning to us how dangerous it is to ignore Ekadasi. Not that anyone can fall from Vaikuntha. Otherwise, there's a whole dominoes effect. And although everything states that Vaikuntha devotee cannot fall, this would throw all off. Rather, it fits in with all the other statements. As Srila Prabhupada wrote in his purport, the Nitya Siddha Mahabhagavat is a resident of Vaikuntha, and there's no possibility of his ever falling down. And anyone who follows that Nitya Siddha, follows his instructions, he'll also become perfect with no possibility of leaving Krishna. He'll also become Nitya Siddha. So, Swarup Damodar is telling Bhagavatacharya. Bhagavatacharya brings his Mayavadi son to speak the Mayavadi version of the Danta Sutra to Sri Swarup Damodar. Now here, if you're reading out of context, one quote, Sri Swarup Damodar is saying, oh, the Mayavadi philosophy is so full of jugglery of words that even if a very advanced devotee will hear it, this Mayavadi interpretation of the Danta Sutra, he himself will change his decision about philosophy. So one may say, oh, here's the proof that the jiva falls from Goloka. Because even in this world, a Mahabhagavat can fall down. An advanced devotee who has made his life and soul Krishna. This is what Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami is saying. But having the full faith that Srila Prabhupada has come to this world from that realm, only to give us faith in that realm and take away our faith in this world, and that Prabhupada is in the line as a perfect representative. And actually Gurudev said only Mahabhagavats can be the chokidars of the civil succession and be in ISKCON, therefore. We are not in ISKCON, but we want to be. So the chokidars of the real eternal ISKCON and the real civil succession are those Mahabhagavats. So we see, actually, having heard from Shrestha Sadhu Sangha, and we have that faith in Prabhupada, then we can simply continue reading the conversation. And what does it say? It says that Swarup Damodar was telling this to Bhagavatacharya. And then Bhagavatacharya said, wait a minute, that's not true at all. A pure devotee can never get deviated by Mayavadi philosophy. So Swarup Damodar then said, yes, that's a fact, but his heart will break, his heart will crack, hearing Krishna be offended in that way, that there's no such thing as the jiva and God are one, God has no form. His heart will break, because why? He's seeing that Krishna is offended, and he's feeling so much compassion for the jiva who is misled by this Mayavadi philosophy and has to rotate, therefore, to the species. So, with faith, we find all the answers. Now, there's a very famous letter by Srila Prabhupada that is quoted as a so-called proof that the jivas fell from the Loka Vrindavan. And in that letter, though on one hand Srila Gurudev says that letters cannot be accepted as evidence, purports are accepted as evidence, translations are accepted as evidence, still, even in this letter, there's no contradiction. That is, Srila Prabhupada writes in this letter that formerly we were in Krishna's sport. So that seems like he fell down from Krishna Lila. But then later on in the letter he says, and when are we not in Krishna's sport? That is, we're still in Krishna's sport. This material world is also Krishna's Lila. stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Niroya Lila and Shrishti Lila. So we're still in Krishna's court. And when you can't say that we were not with Krishna before we came, and you can't say that we're not with Krishna now. That is, Krishna is everywhere. He's the cause and effect of everything. Just like during the daytime, are we ever out of the sun? Sometimes the sun is covered by a cloud, and then it becomes dim, but still the sun is always there. So as part and parcel of Krishna, we're always with Krishna, but sometimes we forget Krishna. And in Prabhupada's glorification of Vrindavan, because he gave us, in 1967, he gave us his Gurudev, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada's translations and commentaries of Sri Brahma Samhita, and asked that that be widely distributed. And Srila Prabhupada also spoke on a record about that translation, reading out loud this book of his, translated and commented on by his Gurudev. There it states that in Goloka Vrindavan, all light, even light, is full of knowledge and bliss. Every word is a song, every dance is a step is a dance, and the cows give an unlimited supply of nectar-like milk that satisfy all desires. And the trees there in Goloka Vrindavan also satisfy all desires. In Vrindavan, when Krishna plays his flute, this is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Prabhupada's translation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, giving Chaitanya to Mahaprabhu's father. There it says that when Krishna plays his flute, all the entities in Vrindavan, that is, the bees, the trees, and the animals, and the humans, they all begin to tremble in great tribulation. And that which is not moving becomes moving, and that which is moving becomes unmoving. Prabhupada made so many statements in his translations and purports how Vaikuntha is that place. Also, where all residents are eternally happy and engaged. One devotee asked Prabhupada, now, if this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, then wouldn't the same things be there? That is, wouldn't frustration and anger and envy also be in the spiritual world? So Prabhupada said, yes, frustration is also there in the material spiritual world. But there's no disappointment. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was frustrated. Why? Because Krishna disappeared. So he's jumping in the sea and riding on the waves of the sea and being underneath the sea for days, weeping, where are you, Krishna, where are you? So there's frustration, but there's no disappointment. Everything is happy.
Can you do
I once told Prabhupada, I feel so frustrated that I can't serve you nicely. So Prabhupada said that frustration will make you advance. Then again, he gave that same example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That frustration is
can
only
do,
there
Archan?
In Vaikuntha, and what to speak of Goloka Vrindavan, to increase all the associates' eagerness and
taking
love
off
for Krishna. So
taking
everything is body there, he said, but without inebriety. I personally once asked Prabhupada that the jiva has not fallen, if we have not fallen from Goloka Vrindavan, then how could you say things like, we have to revive our Krishna consciousness. We have to remember Krishna. We've forgotten that. We have to remember him. We have to regain our Krishna consciousness. Why do you speak like that? Back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada answered, how do you remember? I said, yes, how do you remember if you haven't been there in the first place? You can't remember something that you haven't experienced. So Prabhupada said, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, then you remember what you read. I said, but how can you remember if you haven't experienced it? He said, again, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Why are we citing so many scriptures? Just so that you can remember. So when I first came to Srila Gurudev in 1992, confused about all these points, he said, oh, I will make you a scholar in this. I said, why does Prabhupada say forget? He said, because there's no other word. Because English language is imperfect. In fact, any language is imperfect. and can't present the truth. Why? Because matter can't approach that realm. Then Buddha gave the example, and we find in Srila Prabhupada's translations in Chaitanya Charitamrita the same thing, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling Sri Sanatana Goswami about Sapta Chandra Nyay, the logic of the moon on the branch of the tree. When Gurudev was telling me about it, he said the moon can't be on the branch, it's millions of miles away. Or if I say, look at the sun over there, sitting on the branch. If the sun was sitting on the branch, in a moment, the tree would be ashes. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada says, first you show the baby some very simple thing, and then after he understands that, then you could explain to him some more complex things. So, in this way, the word to forget, the word to revive, the word to remember, are all because of a lack of language. And as Prabhupada is quoting his whole Guru Parampara in his translations, there are two kinds of souls. Those souls who are Krishna unmukh, who never forget Krishna, or are always happy in service, who don't even know what this Maya is, and Krishna vihirmukh, those souls, and all those souls are manifested from the Tattva Shakti. Therefore, they're energy and never energetic. They're not manifestations of full Swarup Shakti. So, those souls who come here from the Tattva Shakti are different souls. They're the ones that are covered by Maya Pisache, the ghost of Maya. So in this way, by the mercy of Srila Gurudev, we at least are not unfortunate to have that lack of faith in Srila Prabhupada. But we know that he himself is infallible. Everything he says and does is infallible. And he's come from that infallible place to give us faith in that infallible world and take away our faith in I am this body and everything in relation to this body is mine.
Very good. Vrindavan Bilasini will stay 10 minutes.
First, I'd like to offer my heartfelt respectfully and real lotus feet of my beloved Srila Prabhupada, who saved me from the greatest darkness of hell. And I'd like to offer my same heartfelt respectfully to my Shri Guru, Srila Gurudev, and to all the Guru Parampara, all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavas too. Actually, there's no way I can glorify Srila Prabhupada because I'm a conditioned soul. But I pray to the Guru Parampara to help me because they can make the impossible possible. So I'd like to try by the end of the week to say a little something in glorification of my Srila Prabhupada. As we know, today is Nandotsava. Nandotsava is the birth celebration of Krishna. Today is the day that Nanda Maharaj gives in charity for the birthday of Krishna. Because it's a tradition in India that one gives in charity, gives gifts to others when one is born. As we know in the West, everyone takes gifts. They take, take, take in the West. I'm the center. But in Krishna consciousness, Krishna is always thinking of all of his devotees and all the communities. He puts himself last, actually. He's so humble. So on this day, he was thinking, oh, there are some souls that are suffering. There's some conditioned souls that haven't yet got the treasure of my heart. And so he was thinking like this, and then he has one very special devotee, Srimati Radhika, who is Sarvapati. She fulfills all of his desires. And so she was understanding, oh, he has a desire to save the conditioned soul. So she looked towards her Sri Rupa Manjari. And Rupa Manjari looked towards her Kamala Manjari. And there's a whole group with Kamala Manjari. There's, you know, Manjari, Nayana Manjari. And so one of these Manjaris was picked to come to the material world and take on the form of a male form, give up her female form. And she came along with her other group, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Kesava Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Vinod Narayan Maharaj. They're a group. They're a group here and they're a group there. there. They're a team, always teamwork in the spiritual world. They're never alone. These people who say Prabhupada's alone, they're never alone. They have so many intimate friends that we can't even begin to imagine who they are. So Prabhupada came. He was born here. He took birth in his Naralila here. And he was always a Vaishnava, always a Rupanuga Gaudiya Vaishnava. And he crossed the ocean and he came to America and he danced and danced and sang Hare Krishna, gave the sky, and he conquered the whole world. He conquered the world. But he had to make a platform. He was cutting jungles and he was establishing temples, Radha Krishna, establishing Rathayatra. And he only had about 10 years. So he did so quickly all this. But he had a treasure in his heart. He had something very special in his heart. But he didn't find it. Well, he found one person he could give it to. Srila Gaurgovinda Maharaj, his beloved disciple. But he didn't find very many personalities in his followers that he could give it to. So he put it in a box, a treasure chest, and he buried it. As we hear in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was one father who had a very big treasure chest, and he buried it. And his sons were looking for it. So the followers of Prabhupada are looking for the treasure of his heart. But they couldn't find it. What happened? They got bitten by black snakes. They got haunted by ghosts. They got attacked by witches. And then one astrologer, one intimate friend of Srila Prabhupada, his very good friend Srila Gurudev, came and said, I know who your Srila Prabhupada is better than you. And I know where he hid the treasure. And I know what's in the treasure. And I have the key to open the treasure box. And he said, your Srila Prabhupada is coming straight from Jugal Kishore. She's one of Rupa Manjari's very near and dear. But how to open the treasure chest of all these jewels of Babu Vas Seva. How to open it? He said, Guru Seva. Guru Seva, Guru Bhakti, Guru Nishtha. It's the beginning, the middle, and the end. This is the key. And it begins with surrender. Surrender, real surrender, and real greed in the heart. And how does that happen? Who do we surrender to? What do we surrender to? To Sri Guru himself. We have to surrender to Sri Guru and always feel that Guru is maintaining us. We have to not just know it, we have to feel it. And we have to act upon it. We have to be willing to give our head. We have to feel indebted to our Guru life after life after life. We're indebted eternally to our Sri Guru. Not Bogus Guru, but Sri Guru. To Srila Prabhupada, to Srila Gurudev. Willing to give our head. Not caring about our own happiness, only caring that they're pleased. This is the key. And when we actually become selfless, only accepting what's favorable to them, rejecting what's unfavorable to them, no other desire but their desire, and always thinking ourselves insignificant, very humble. Everything's coming by the mercy of my Gurudev. I'm nothing. I have no strength. My Guru's giving that chit ball. Well, we have this, and that's just the doorway. That isn't even bhakti. But that opens the treasure chest of bhakti. You see, and then it opens, and what's the treasure? Raj Bhakti Rasa Sar. That's the treasure. So many jewels. Intimate, confidential seva of Radha Krishna Panjago. And so when we finally surrender, and we go to the school of Akanda Guru Tattva Nityananda, and we finally graduate, we get his stamp of approval. When we graduate this, then Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Guru, our Gurudev, Prabhupada, they'll open their hearts. And they'll give what? They give that bond that we're waiting for, that raw, that greed. And then what happens? They say, oh, what did Nityananda say? Actually, I am an Agyananda. Actually, you can now enter the school of the gopis, and you can be trained further. You graduated from that school, now you come to the school that we've been trying to train you for. This is the ultimate perfection. This is what's in Prabhupada's treasure box, and this is what he came to do.
Thank you. Very good. You. Not more time.
He wrote in an article in English called Organized Religion. He said, there is no substitute for the unconventional guidance of the liberated Acharya. We have to keep this in mind. As such liberated Acharyas, they're not bound by the forms and conventions of this world, and in some cases even they may appear to be sacrificing or deviating from the Shastra and certain or precedents of the predecessor Acharyas, but actually because they are fully in the spirit and empowered by Nityananda Prabhu, who spread the Krishna consciousness movement, everything they do is perfect. Srila Prabhupada also gave us a great amount of help how we can deal with Krishna consciousness and the spreading of Krishna consciousness by giving us so many guideposts in his books. One of these examples, we know from the money historians who say that those who don't learn from the mistakes of the past are doomed to repeat them. So, Srila Prabhupada, he gave so many good instructions in his books, instructions how it is not possible that by mundane voting that you can elect an Acharya. The Acharya is not elected or self-proclaimed, but he is self-effulgent by his preaching activities and his bhajan. Also, Srila Prabhupada taught us a very important purport in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Uddhava and Vidura meet up. And it's a very pathetic scene in one sense, because Lord Krishna has just left the world, and he's deputed Uddhava to fulfill one last request, one last mission that he had. He said, I came to this world and I fulfilled all my devotees' requests. I fulfilled the requests of the demigods, the requests of Lord Brahma. I sported with my devotees, especially the gopis, the queens, all these devotees who had prayed to have me as their husband. I satisfied their desire. But I never went to Badrinath. The sages up there want to hear transcendental knowledge from me. So I never got to go there. So before you join me in Nitya Leela, Uddhava, please you go there and you give the sages, you satisfy their hearts by giving them my instructions. And then he spoke all the instructions of the 11th canto to Uddhava to deliver to the sages. So Uddhava was on his way from Dwarka to Badrinath. And meanwhile, Vidura had left the palace in Hastinapur, and he was headed towards the Himalayas also, and they met. And accompanying Uddhava was another elderly spiritual master, Maitreya. Maitreya was with him, and he'd also heard these instructions from Lord Krishna. So, in the purport, Vidura is so enlivened to meet with Uddhava, and just to hear the nectar, what were Lord Krishna's instructions? He asked to accept Uddhava as his spiritual master. Uddhava said, no, this will not be proper etiquette. Maryada vyati kram would be proper sequence and etiquette of overstepping a senior spiritual master, senior spiritual authority. He said, you should go take shelter of Maitreya, who's sitting nearby doing his bhajan, because he is senior to me in so many ways. Even though we know Uddhava is very, very dear to Krishna, just see how humble he is and observing all proper respect for a senior spiritual master. So, this is another important instruction that Srila Prabhupada has given us, not to overstep this senior spiritual masters and to always remain in the humble and feel oneself to be in the junior position. Also, Srila Prabhupada, he gave us so many good instructions how to be able to digest all this knowledge by also giving it to others. Because by when you hear, then some impression is made. But when you have to go and repeat what you've heard, then it forces you to think whether you've realized what you've heard or not. Can you repeat the class you heard yesterday? So, little like Srimati Sharani Didi spoke, little baby steps for most of us. We are hearing very many deep, profound, high, beautiful tattvas, siddhantas, rasa tattva. But if we're not careful, we may get indigestion. And we may not be able to properly internalize this if we don't also, as Srimati Vrindavilasini said, render some guru seva. So we didn't have a clue what we were doing, but somehow or other, by Prabhupada's encouragement, we were able to do so many things that were we had no training for at all. How to put out a monthly magazine, how to organize a mass scale of book distribution, getting buses and vans, and how to do college programs. I remember we were lecturing in places like Harvard, and we didn't even have, you know, college degrees or anything. But somehow Krishna was making all these arrangements by Prabhupada's enthusiasm. And just like when the Cowherd boys, they came across this big snake, Agassura lay down in the forest there, and he opened his jaws up high to the sky. And the boys came along, and this blast of really, you know, fishy, bad smell came in their faces, which is not normal for Vrindavan, which is full of beautiful, fragrant flowers and fruits. So they wondered, what is this bad smell coming from? And they saw this big mouth like a huge cavern. And it looked kind of dangerous, really sharp, pointy teeth, stalactites and stalagmites. But the Cowherd boys were fearless. And they said, well, this looks like a very interesting adventure. Anyway, whatever will happen, Krishna will protect us. Let's just go charging right in. So, in the same way, you know, you have all these cities with all their big, teethy skyscrapers and all their bad smells coming at you from them. We've got one near here. Agrasura. So, Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, they're asking us to be fearless and enthusiastic like the Cowherd boys. That we don't really know what we're getting into, but we should go charging into these fishy, bad-smelling cities and towns and depend on Krishna and give out Krishna consciousness to everyone. And then we'll find that these instructions that we're hearing, so wonderful, beautiful instructions, will also start to become manifest and realized within our own hearts. And finally, Srila Prabhupada also gave us an important instruction in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said that the disciples of a senior spiritual master, as the spiritual master enters into his Anchalila, these disciples should then allow him to do his Nirjan Bhajan. As he approaches the end of his manifest appearance in the world, they should be kind upon such a senior spiritual master and allow him to do his bhajan peacefully. So So Prabhupada has given us a good roadmap. We made many mistakes. We didn't understand half these instructions at the time. Now we're a little older and we hopefully can pass on the experience and wisdom that we have achieved through our mistakes, because we made so many mistakes, and create a better example with this generation of devotees now that's coming. So many nice new devotees, young devotees are coming, and it's very important, as Srila Gurudev said yesterday, that all the senior devotees exemplify by their good, very good conduct for the junior devotees. Srila Prabhupada was also the exemplar of this. He never exploited anyone. He only gave them opportunity for seva. He never forced them. He never paid them a salary. It was all done out of love. Give and take love. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Couple of minutes. Om Mariana Jivani Vasya Kiran Jira Shakaya Chaksu. I was in the darkest of ignorance, and I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lotus Feet, my spiritual master, who came and is forcing my eyes open towards light of knowledge. So today is the anniversary of the 108th anniversary they're announcing at this time now of Srila Prabhupada's appearance day. And I noticed so many more Srila Prabhupada disciples here. I was the only Prabhupada, two disciples, me and one other very old man, were there this morning for his Samadhi Arti. There's so many more here. So this is an indication of where Srila Prabhupada really is. Because I know he always resides within the hearts of his disciples and those followers. And I just wanted to speak a couple of words here by the order of Srila Gurudev about my spiritual master. In 1972, first time I ever heard Srila Prabhupada or met Srila Prabhupada, he was singing the Vandeham prayers, the Mandala Acharana prayers. And he was singing to his spiritual master, Sri Barshamanavadi Daitaya Kripate Krishna Sambandha Vidyana Daini Prabhavaya Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premaja Sri Rupa Nuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarye Rupa Nuga Vrudapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine. And he went on to praise Sri Gaura Kishore Babaji Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshat Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambhode Param Bhujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namaste Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupa Nuga Purayate. So three times we hear Rupa Nuga in there. And I was explaining just the other day to these devotees at the ISKCON Mandir that I'm hearing all the time now that we are Prabhupada Nuga, and there are some devotees who seem to be trying to take this ISKCON movement away from this Rupa Nuga line and put us into a new line where Srila Prabhupada is dropped from Garuda in New York all by himself. And Srila Prabhupada, I wanted to say that myself in my conversation with him in his own room, he stated that all that I have done has been as a result of my Guru Parampara. He gave all glories and all credits to Guru Parampara. He never tried to teach that he was the one and the only, the Adi and the Antya Guru of this world, which is kind of like what's trying to be happening now. People are trying to make Srila Prabhupada like Jesus Christ. But the fact was always hidden from us that Srila Prabhupada's Antya Leela, at the very end of his life, he called Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Maharaj and only would allow him and beg him to put him into Samadhi. And he had him come and sing the Rupa Manjari song. It's a very deep Siddhanta, this Rupa Manjari song. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada had this song sung for him by one of his two his very dear disciples. And so likewise, our Srila Prabhupada and Srila Vedanta Narayana Maharaj come and sing this song for him. And all of these facts have been hidden from the devotees. In fact, if you speak it in class, they will not allow you to give class anymore. They want the truth to be hidden. But you can only hide the truth for a short time. Just like the clouds can only hide the sun. Maybe a day, maybe two, maybe 30 days. But still, eventually the sun will come out. And as we can see now in the world, we're so happy that Srila Gurudev has come and given us a second wind, a second wave. I know so many devotees in America. I just spoke with many who were in Badger, Prabhupada disciples, who for the first time, they said, "Well, I'm dreaming about Krishna again. I'm dreaming about devotees. Timur Bahadur, you're a dog. Why didn't you tell us?" I said, everyone's afraid, scared to death, that if they say anything about Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayana Maharaj, they will be thrown out of the movement. But this is the type of censorship that's going on now. And we have to fight this because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that quote that made Namaste Gauravan Sri Murtai Dina Karine Rupa Nuga Virudapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine. Anyone who goes against this Rupa Nuga Vaishnava Siddhanta, then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta spoke very Siddhanta Dvanta Harine. He is very virulent in his preaching against this type of heresy. It's the ultimate heresy. It's done more to destroy devotional life and devotional service on this planet. So, a few other things. Srila Prabhupada, when I was in the room with him in 1974, he was telling that you just try to understand this Krishna consciousness. Take, understand this fortune, this great fortune that we're giving you. And he said, take it and then give it to others. This was this whole move. Very simple. Not something that you have to understand encyclopedias and millions of shlokas to be a preacher. Srila Prabhupada always gave the example of little Saraswati. She was the daughter, I believe, of Shamasundar. And he said, here's the perfect preacher, Saraswati, preach. And he'd give her the microphone and she said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She probably said, God, I hope this is perfect preaching. So we don't have to know so much. We just have to know that we have to have faith. Yada yasya devi para bhaktir, yada devi tada varau, tashaite katita dharta, prakashante mahatmanaha. To one who has an equal amount of faith, and deep, deep faith, and honor, in the lotus feet of Srila Gurudev, and in the lotus feet of Sri Govinda, to one who has this kind of equal faith, and unbounded faith, all the imports of Vedic knowledge, prakashante mahatmanaha, they will automatically become revealed in the heart, and even though one may think that he doesn't know anything, automatically shlokas and shlokas will come. So many lilas and so much nice ananda. There's a very important point that Shramarani made. The Srila Prabhupada even said that once. A saint that's sad is a sad saint. We have to be in this. And since Srila Gurudev is coming to my life, I know it's like winning the lottery for the second time. I mean, how many times do you win the lottery? And it's like winning the lottery the second time. So we're so happy. And so we want to execute his will, though, not just hola, hola, Srila Gurudev, jai, jai, and then be after our pratishtha and our positions. I see some jockeying here, just like I saw on ISKCON in 1976 and 1977. Men were already preparing their positions. And we should understand that this is not Sri Gurudev's mood, that we don't need any position at all. All we want to be is humble das of Krishna. Jijayam Svarupoy, Shnera Nityadas. Shnera Patasthashakti, Veda Veda Prakash. So we're a part and parcel of Krishna, but we had no idea of this until Srila Prabhupada came. And in his mood, he wanted us to give this knowledge to others. He said, now I've made you fortunate. Now you go out and you make others fortunate. By giving Krishna, you can get Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna is very elusive and he's very tricky. You may think you can capture him with your erudition and your Vedantic pedant, and you may know every sloka in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There were disciples even to this day who know the teachings of Srila Bhakti Thakur verbatim.
But as far as understanding the essence of his teachings, there's nothing there. So we can understand that if we surrender 100% to Guru and to Sri Govinda, everything will become very, very blissful in our life. This is the test. Not that we offer respect to the lotus feet of Guru and Brahman and then kick them on the head. So we're just reading in Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's very common in Kali Yuga. Offer respect to the feet and then to kick on the head. Such a soul surely goes to hell. So let me conclude and thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
I know that among male devotees and female devotees, oh, there are so many good speakers. And they are disciples of the Bhaktivedanta Swami. But time is short. We'll have to finish within 8 to take part of Janmashtami. Otherwise, thousands and thousands of people will come and disturb the meeting. So before that, I want to finish and we will discuss about him, glorify him another time. I want to tell about him that whether he was Rupanuga or not, Swamiji was Rupanuga or Raganuga only. Rupanuga?
Both.
Has he written anywhere that he was Rupanuga?
Yes, in Upadeshamrita introduction.
You?
Yes, he said that Sri Rupa Goswami, this whole Krishna consciousness movement is going on under the supervision of Sri Rupa Goswami. And there are 50 places in his books where he says that we are Rupa Goswami.
But whether he has written or not, like our Gurudev Srila Prabhupada, they have never written Guru, Rupanuga. Disciples have. Was he Rupanuga or Raganuga? You disciples? Raganuga only, not Rupanuga. His Guru was Rupanuga. Nalvanjari, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Rupa Goswami and all Raghunath Das Goswami, then how he will be Sakhavul friend, how but what? I don't accept this. Never, never. If whole ISKCON will tell that he was only friend, I will not listen to their argument, I will establish that he was like Manjaris, Rupa Anuga.
They are telling that he is the best servant of his guru. So if his guru is Manjari, then what should he be?
Cowherd.
Yeah.
Cowherd or coward. So, I am not agree with them. Though he has written some poem about cowherd boy. In the boat he wrote something. He can wrote Dasyamud also, Shant also, Basalya also, what are? Not, cowherd boy, what are? Nothing. But really, he was in the line of Rupa Goswami or Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Prabhupada. So you should not listen. Anyone can have any question that whether he gave sannyas and so many fall down. So he was not omniscient or what? So he was not qualified. I know that they are not qualified, those who are saying like this. They don't know Vaishnava Siddhanta. Knowingly he did. He gave chance to us. So he was all right. He gave sannyas. But trickly he gave. What trickly? No Vedic name. Trickly he. He knew that something will happen. And after me, so many groups will be divided in my disciples. Those who are not real disciples. They will not follow me. Now Ritviks, so many things are going on. Not qualified guru. So many sannyasis, renunciants, they left and became family men. So, he was okay. He gave chance. But I think that the leaders of his own son, others, could not realize him who was he and what was his instructions. I know he is so many grihastha bhakta. They are okay. They are following. Understand? No. So many grihastha bhakta and other bhakta brahmacharis also. They follow him, really. But in ISKCON they have no place. They cannot tell anything. Gaur Govinda Maharaj, Srila, was very brave and bold. He wanted to tell the real desire of Prabhupada and Siddhanta. But they kicked them off. So, you should know Gauravani Pracharine. What is Gauravani? I have told so many times. And Shyamrani has written something about this.
It will soon be
covered. Very soon it will come. Gauravani. Gauravani means Rupa Goswami. His Vani is Gauravani, the Vani of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Prabhupada, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiggu Goswami and all others. The Vani is of Raya Ramananda Sarup Damodar. These are Gauravani. He was Gauravani Pracharini. So, you should try to follow him really. He never told that he was coming down from Golok. As Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has told, other Goswamis has told, Krishna Bhuli Se Jiva Na Virbhairmukh. There is no word, other word, to explain all these things. So Bhattar Purvacharya has told, he has told also. But Jiva Goswami has cleared for all this Jiva Tattva. In Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Jiva Tattva has been glorified. Yadgatva na nivartante taddhamma mama. So those who go at one, anytime in Golok, Vrindavan, they will not be shared. There is no Maya, illusory Maya, only Jog Maya. They have no lust, no anger, nothing there. So, we have very few moments time here. I want that I should finish. And then we will give Pushpanjali in lotus feet of my Shiksha.